it really put me in a weird spot to think about if this is what the majority of, and a lot of the messages I got were from men. So if this is what the majority of men are messaging to me without even meeting me, without knowing me, then this feels like what the majority of men think about me.
Welcome to The Zoo, a podcast mini-series about online dating. I'm Sophie Nikitas, and here's Maya.
I started senior year of college, so in 2012, a lot of my friends were signing up. It seemed like a fun thing to do. I wasn't dating anyone at the time. I had just gotten back from study abroad and had a whirlwind of an adventure, and I wanted to continue that spirit into my senior year and didn't want to be tied down. This felt like the exact way not to be tied down. It's like, ooh, fun, random strangers, great. Well, my profile name was I'm a girl_taco, which is a name that OkCupid suggested I take, and I loved it, so obviously I took it. And I was never really serious on any of the questions, on the profile questions they asked. I mean, I put some interests, like I like spicy food, I put that, but everything was very joking, light, and witty, and that's the way I like to keep it. And I think that also appealed to a lot of the messages I was getting, was also very much in that witty, joking style, which I was like, great, we established that this is not serious. Let's make some puns and keep moving. I think, well, I put in the, you should message me if, I put, you should message me if you are not a predator, LOLOLOLOL, parentheses, I'm really not kidding. Close parentheses.
Did a lot of people.
A lot of people responded to that. They're like, I'm not a predator, or I might be a predator. I'm like, why would you even say that? The intent was really just to, I'm never the person to say, oh, I love to meet people. Like, it wasn't so I could like see if I could be friends with people. It was definitely like, I'm going to meet people. If they're funny, I'll go on a date. Maybe we'll hook up. That would be awesome. Done. For the most part, it was all very light banter, which was really exciting for me to just have like a battle of wits when messaging people. And so it was very easy for me to slip into this role of saying like, yeah, let's meet. First message, you know? Oh yeah, very short-lived blog. It was co-created with a friend of mine who was like, hey, are you getting creepy messages on OkCupid too? And I was like, yeah, constantly. And so there were a few screenshots that we started sharing because I would just text them to her and be like, haha, this is gross. But then we started putting them on a Tumblr. The fact that that was an expectation that I would have those, it didn't dawn on me at the moment, but later thinking about it, it's kind of messed up that I would just expect that, you know, oh, today I'll get 3 messages and 2 of them will be racist and sexist. And that was just an assumption, like that was just, I expected that to happen. From the friends that I had that were on OkCupid at the time, it seemed like a lot of their content was on the books that they liked or the movies they liked. And these are friends that are white friends. And for me, it was definitely focused on my appearance, on my lips, on being brown. That was a lot of the initial contact. Did turn into a really just an exotification of me in a lot of ways. There were a lot of brown sugar references. Oh my God, that was brown sugar. I was like, great, that's terrible. Why would you do that? I mean, a lot of food references, chocolate, mocha, brown sugar. These were all words used in complimentary ways that were really, really demeaning. Just really gross, banal stuff, but my inbox was becoming full. It kind of made me think, you know, maybe all of these messages are like this, even the nice ones. You know, maybe eventually there will be some kind of commentary that is offensive to me. So it made it very easy for me to say, like, let's meet. I don't care about knowing about you. I don't care about your story. Like, it made it a very easy process for me to use as a coping mechanism to have, like, nameless, faceless men be my escape. So, I'm a girl underscore taco. This was 2013. Must have been, February-ish. I was really in the thick of it, was really, really going on dates, getting a bunch of messages. It was like a game to me, like I said. And I was really, really into that first conversation. That was like my favorite part about OkCupid, was just initiating a conversation and hopefully they were witty enough to keep up, because I was really about puns and wordplay, and if they were down with that, then it was good. Then it was a good situation for me. It had been, who knows, you know, a couple of months, maybe 5 months or so, that I was like actively dating, and I was getting to the OkCupid fatigue part. But then I got a message from someone who responded to the, if you, or message me if you're not a predator. And he said, I'm not a predator, I promise. And I was like, okay, that's a good start to this. He says he's not a predator, so it must be good. And then we just, you know, we just started talking, and it was instantly just a casual, fun conversation. We talked a lot about food, mainly about food. Turns out he has a Facebook album that's full of pictures of people eating burritos, and he curates this album on Facebook of burritos, and it's great. And I mean, we just had really funny conversations, and it's rare that I find myself in an online forum laughing literally out loud, and I found that happening. And so, I mean, we exchanged numbers and we took it offline, and we just kept missing times to connect in real life. I mean, he was out of town a bunch and I was super busy with work. And so it was like probably like a month or so of just kind of missing connection. And then, I mean, a couple weeks after that, our last attempt to hang out, I met Maddie. I met Maddie at a music festival on a farm. I was singing backup with one of my friends. He was singing, playing guitar with his band. So if you tell me that you love me. I mean, he's a big dude and he's half Filipino and he has swoop in his hair, and he was having the time of his life. He suggested breakfast, and I was like, all right, I guess we could do breakfast. That sounds like a good 10:30, 11 a.m. task. But he was like, 8:30, let's meet at 8:30. I was like, great, this is going to be the weirdest date of all time. We met at 8:30 at my apartment, and we got waffles. And I remember I got peanut butter waffles, which I had never had before, and I love peanut butter. And they were really good. but we ended up staying there for maybe like 2 or 3 hours. And it was, I mean, we played cards and they have like little drawing pads and we kind of drew things. And Maddie still has the drawings that we drew that first date in his wallet. But he told me the story of how his parents fell in love. And it's a beautiful and long and just... people are traveling from country to country and writing letters, and it's really beautiful. And he started crying, as he is wont to do. And he had to excuse himself because he was getting so emotional about telling the story. I did feel part of myself opening up in a way that I don't do, that I don't feel comfortable doing. I just felt really kind of beside myself. How did this happen? How are we sitting here kind of sharing these really intimate parts of our lives? And we didn't go through the pun phase. We didn't go through the tell your favorite book and really talk in as many words as you can about it. We didn't do any of that and went straight to the things that mattered the most. Like all of the dates in the past months had like flashed through my brain at that time. There are so many people, especially using OkCupid as that framework to get to know people, where people are just using all of the masks that they have to present themselves. And with Maddie, he either couldn't find the mask or broke the mask or lost the mask, you know?
That was Maya sharing her story. Maya and Maddie have a band. It's called Avalon Moon. You can look them up on their Facebook page. Maya actually composed all of the music for this episode. She's the best. I know that you have a story to tell me. Email me at azoopodcast@gmail.com. I might just read it on the air or ask you to play your music.